text for this morning, James chapter 2, the first 13 verses. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. You show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "Oh, you stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet." Have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? You have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is the word of God. Does this really happen? What we've just read about? Two people come to church and get treated differently based on what they're wearing? Do the visiting rich get better treatment at church than the visiting poor? Do people at church act differently towards other people because of their social standing or status? Are we really that superficial in how we treat others? What do you think? A lecturer of mine at the RTC, Bill Behrens, and he's going to be with us in a few months' time, so you might like to ask him about this story. In the days when he was a student studying for the ministry, he decided that this passage here in James 2 was a passage worthy of being road tested. And so, one Sunday, he and a friend of his visited a local church in the community. He dressed up in a leather bikey jacket with ripped jeans and a few days' worth of stubble on his chin, while his friend dressed to the nines, wearing suit, tie, smart and tidy, everything you can imagine. What do you think happened? What you're thinking is exactly right. Smart and tidy with a tie had many people speaking to him afterwards, whereas spiky jacket, ripped jeans and stubble was kept at a safe distance. And that, friends, is what James is addressing in our text this morning. The rich, well-dressed visitor is treated with special honour and made to feel very welcome, while the poor, shabbily dressed visitor gets relegated to the corner and made to feel a little bit like a trespasser. Should you really be here? The spirit of playing favourites is alive and well within the church of Jesus Christ. And James calls us on it. He won't keep quiet when he sees this taking place around him. He says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Don't favor the wealthy. Don't discriminate against the poor." It's a simple passage, like so many of the things that James has been writing to us already in this letter. This is not a text you need to study over and over and over again to try and work out what's to be said. It has a simple message that ought to be obvious for everyone. Don't play favorites. So should I say, as I almost did last week, amen, and move on? No, not yet. There's more, once again, that we need to do first before we can say amen today. I wonder how many children have heard me say amen 3 times now and wondering why church hasn't finished yet. Here's the first thing that James gives us that we need to think about this morning. Why not to play favourites? And the first of the reasons why we're not to play our favourites is found in verses 5 through 7. We can describe it as this: God's example of love. Don't play favourites because of God's example of love. I think verse 5 nails it. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? Friends, this is the gospel. That God delights to shower grace and kindness on those whom the world has discarded and written off, pushed to the side. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Think of what Paul said, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says this, he says, "Think of what you were when you were called. None of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential, not many of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong." And friends, if God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom, if God has showered his love upon these sorts of people and overlooked those of high status, great power, then James says, why do you act as if those things still matter? Why do you act as if status and power and wealth matter? Why do you judge people who have those sorts of things as being worthy of being mixed and mingled with? Why wouldn't you want to pay attention, special attention, to the sort of people whom God has singled out for his love? But doesn't that mean, you might be thinking this, doesn't that mean that God does in fact play favorites? He just does it the other way around. What you're thinking that? Well, if God showers his love on the poor, isn't God playing favorites in that regard? That's a good question. That's a very, very fair question even. And here I think it's helpful to see that the word that James uses for poor, the Greek word for poor, has, if you like, a double meaning. Obviously, it's used in the sense of having not very much money, as verses 1 through 4 make it really clear. But it's also used to translate that Old Testament word that refers to people who are poor in a spiritual sense. And not in a bad way either. That is, those who are humble, those who are meek, those who recognize their dependence upon God, those who trust God for salvation. They also are the poor upon whom God has showered his love. So it's the evaluation of the world that these not got lots of money sort of people are poor. But brothers and sisters, what they lack in their bank accounts, they make up for, more than make up for, in their love for God. And so why are we more concerned about someone's outward appearance and social standing when we're thinking about whether or not we'll show honor to them? Someone who's visiting, make them feel welcome. Well, friends, God's example of love is a reason for us not to play favorites. But James goes on and gives us a second reason not to play favorites as well, and that is God's law of love. God's law of love. James writes in verse 8, "If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers." Love your neighbor as yourself. The second of the greatest commandments, as we read earlier on in our service. And playing favorites is no way to keep this law. Playing favorites is thinking about what this other person who might join the church can do for us. Playing favorites is thinking this other person is, oh, not really much use, not going to be of much value for us. Playing favorites is thinking about me, thinking about us. Doesn't stop to think, I wonder what it would be like to visit a church and have nobody speak to me. I've visited churches like that. I dare say many of you have as well. I wouldn't want to go back. It's the last place I'd want to go back to. Because people are saying by their actions or by what they're not doing, they're saying, we're not interested in you. Well, we don't care particularly if you feel left out or if we don't care enough to actually do something about it. And what we can't do is respond, as James sort of anticipates. James anticipates somebody saying, well, okay, I do play favorites, but look, there are so many laws, and I keep all these other laws. I get a free ride on this one. I do most of them, but this one, I fail in this regard. James doesn't let us get away with that. He says, you stumble at one point, you've broken the whole lot. We can't play pick and mix with the duties of love that we want to put into practice. And those that we'd rather not. But Sunday's the only day I've got to speak to my friends at church, someone might say. Well, if that's so, if that's true of you this morning, then you need to change the way that you use Monday through Saturday. Purposefully make time during the week so that you can free yourself up on Sunday, so that you can come here on the Lord's Day ready to serve. Ready to reach out with love to others. For you do want the person who's visiting to feel love, don't you? If they don't know God, you do want them to feel welcome, don't you? You do want them to sense a little bit of what God's love might look like and feel welcome and want to come back, right? And friends, that begins with love. That begins with showing an interest in others. It begins on the first Sunday that somebody is visiting for the first time, and it means not forgetting them on subsequent Sundays either. It means sharing who you are and being open to friendship with someone that God is putting on your path by divine design. Of course, that's not very easy. It's much easier to talk to people I already know. It's much easier to hope that somebody else is going to do this welcoming of others sort of thing and make people feel welcome and let me off the hook. It's much easier for me to make a beeline for those who are like me rather than those who are not like me. It's much easier to play favorites. But it's the right thing to show love. So James has told us this morning why we're not to play favorites. So the only point I have left in my sermon is this. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And to put it very, very simply, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. We together, as a church, as a congregation, need to make a conscious effort not to play favorites, and to be welcoming to anyone and everyone who might walk through our doors on a Sunday morning. For God has given a ministry to each of us, to everyone who is here this morning. On Sunday, there is the ministry of the pulpit, and that's a very important ministry. God's called me to this pulpit, and I need to be faithful to that ministry. But there's also another ministry that starts with P, the ministry of the pulpit, but also the ministry of the pew. Ministry of the pew, and that is a very important ministry as well. I'm the one standing in the pulpit this morning, and you're the one sitting on the pews this morning. God has called you to the ministry of the pew, where you are. And he's He's called you to be faithful to that ministry as well. The ministry of being a welcomer. The ministry of reaching out to the visitor, reaching out to the stranger. The ministry of making someone feel like they've come to a place with which they'd like to belong to. The ministry of demonstrating the love of Jesus to those around us, to others. They might share in his love and want to come to know this love for themselves as well. Someone might ask this morning, is this really a problem for us? During my time as a pastor in Wellington, I spoke with someone once who said they wouldn't feel comfortable coming to church because they smoked pot and they thought people would judge them for it. Apart from the fact we had a policeman in the pew, and they didn't know that at the time, was what that person said true? Would that be true of us? Would you judge them for it? Would you make them feel unwelcome? Would your demeanor, the way that you're speaking and your body expression, your facial expression, would that radiate disapproval, or would you see it as an opportunity and say hi? I don't know what would happen. That why some people visit once, though, and never return? On the positive side, I know that a very large number of you have felt very welcome in our church. Perhaps it was because you wore a gold ring and nice clothes, as James says. Perhaps your personality meant you were someone who other people wanted to welcome, who enjoyed you. They found you someone easy to get to know, easy to relate to. But you see, friends, the test isn't whether some people feel welcome, because the rich man in James 2 felt very welcome, no doubt. That isn't the test. The test is whether everyone gets to experience that same privilege. And the uncomfortable reality is not everybody does. I've spoken to people like that, people who have come once and never come back, and that is, I have to say, a terrible shame. We ought to treat visitors like gold, as a precious gift, people whom God has sent to us by his divine appointment and plan, an opportunity to reach out that should be treasured by us all. And while the particular barrier that James mentions to us this morning relates to the rich and the poor, perhaps there are other barriers as well that might stand in the way. The barrier of being from a different culture. Perhaps from a different social class. Everyone loves a happy family, but what about the single mum or the solo dad who might come? Whatever the barrier is, often people who are different get a poor deal in the church. And that's not right. We need to stop playing favorites. And of course, the importance of this doesn't fade away when someone stops being new. Most of you are not new here this morning. But we continue to have a duty of love, a duty of care towards one another. In my experience and my observation, there are often many lonely people in church. And they've been in church for many, many years. We have a duty of love, a duty to look out for that person over coffee after church. Intentionally open our circles of friends to include others. Because God has opened his circle of friendship to include us. Perhaps this morning you feel like you've fallen short in this expression of love. You sense that often you have done indeed this, you have played favorites. I say to you this morning, seek God's mercy in Jesus. Yes, you have done wrong. Each of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But as James tells us so powerfully there in verse 13, he says, mercy triumphs over judgment. God doesn't play favorites. He's extended mercy to each and everyone who comes to him in faith. who comes believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they are rich or poor, whatever the color of their skin is, whether they are highly regarded in the eyes of society or as lowly as can be, all come to the foot of the cross as equals, as sinners. And all who believe find the mercy through which we find forgiveness of sins. We find a love that is rich and deep and wide. A love that, once it becomes ours, allows us to reach out to others with the love which we have received in the gospel. As to the experiment that my RTC lecturer tried when he was a student, someone were to try that experiment on us next Sunday, how'd we go? Would we pass the test? Or would we fail it? Read in Hebrews 13, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." Maybe right now, today, someone's testing us out. Be very careful who you speak to after church, over tea and coffee. Out with favoritism, in with love. Amen. Let's pray.